Just look at your neighbor near you, around you, wave at him across the way and say, hey, you're looking fine today. It might come across bad, but in some cases, I guess I better be careful of that. I want to encourage you this week to be here Thursday. Thursday, the term to describe it is called Maundy Thursday, M-A-U-N-D-Y, and it comes from a Latin word that simply means commandment. It comes from where Jesus told his disciples in the last moment that he was with them to love one another. In that day, in that moment in time, there were probably things that were all going on in the disciples' mind. They had just witnessed one of the 12, Judas, betray Jesus, and well, not yet, but Jesus confront him and say, what you do, go do quickly. And so in the midst of all of this, that was a challenge for them to have this commandment in their life to love one another. Same it is today. And so Thursday night, we're just going to kind of look at some of that and just examine and see how does that apply to us today. And then, of course, Good Friday is the day that we remember that Jesus paid the ultimate price, the sacrifice. And I hope you can fit a moment in your life that day for 1 hour to share communion with the body of Christ here. And we just reflect and remember what Jesus has done for each one of us. Amen. I want to read to you two scriptures, but I, concerning today, last week and today, I've been talking about the light of the world in Matthew 5, verse 13 and 14 in the contemporary English version, and I like how it says it. He says in verse 13, you are like salt for everyone on the earth. Natalie's saying it so exquisitely. We are the light of not just our home, but we're the light of the world. He said, you're the salt for everyone on the earth. But if the salt loses, no longer tastes like salt, how can it make food salty? All it is good for is to be thrown out and walked on. Verse 14, you are like light for the whole world. A city built on top of a hill cannot be hidden, and no one lights a lamp and puts it under a clay pot. No, a lamp is placed on a lampstand where it can give light to everyone in the house. It makes your light shine so that others will see the good that you do and will praise your Father in heaven. It's so important to be salt and light. I was visiting someone in Rochester the other day, and I had to stop at a gas station out on Ridge Road, and it was a Hess station. As I pulled up to the gas station, I was finishing a phone call on my Bluetooth, and I looked over, and a car pulled up on the other side of the pump. There's two, a woman and a young man, and I couldn't tell their ages, but I saw the man, the woman was driving, and I saw the man reach over and hug and embrace, and I thought, well, that's a sweet-looking couple, and I got out of the car, and then I heard the door open up, and it was a younger man, and he got out, and he says, I love you, Mom. I'll see you later. And I thought, oh, that just melted my heart. I thought, I just can't let this one go. And so the woman gets out, and she, you know, I don't want to be a creeper at the gas station or anything. The lady gets up. I said, you know, that was beautiful what I saw right there just a moment ago. And she says, oh, we love our family. We love our children. We love one another. And I could tell there was a difference in her. And I said, tell me, and I'm getting my gas, you know, I'm just not over there putting on the creep mode or anything like that. Why do you do that? How is that different in your life like that? And she goes, well, we're Christians. We love the Lord. Man, I had a preach come on me right there in the gas station. Light and salt to the world. And after I drove away, I thought, oh, I should have bought her gas. You know, I've got a really fancy wallet. If you've ever seen it, it's just a rubber band with everything wrapped up. And I have a stack of these little cards, something extra to show you that God loves you. Somebody gave me one last week, just out of the blue. I was at a meeting and I was sitting at a table. There's people all around. They put one down in front of me with a dollar bill in front of it. And I thought, what a great seed that was just in my heart, right at that moment, right there, to let somebody know that God loves them and bring them back to that remembrance. So I want to encourage you today. Be salt and light. Encourage people. Reach out and love people. I read this story this week about a place in Georgia called the Church of God Grill. The Church of God Grill. This man was looking for the best chicken in the Atlanta area, and he started to ask different people. He says, where do you get the best chicken around? And they said, you got to go to the Church of God Grill. And he wondered what that was, so he went there, and he got the chicken, and he thought, wow, this is the best chicken that I ever had. And he began to find out, and he began to ask some questions and ask people, how did you become? You must be a Christian organization. How did you get the name Church of God Grill? And the gentleman said, well, yes, we are Christians. He said, we started a little event after each Sunday that we'd cook chicken and we'd sell it to help pay for the bills in the church. And the people liked the chicken so much and liked the business so much that we started selling more chicken and we started having less services. And after a while, we started making so much money at selling the chicken, we just closed down the church. We moved the pews out of the church and we just turned it into a restaurant. And we thought we'd call it the Church of God Grill. A very unfortunate, I mean, some may look at that as cute and funny, but the reality of it was that their chicken was better than their church services. The ribs that they were providing were better than their worship. And so they closed the church, they pulled the pews out of it, and they turned it in to a restaurant. And I look at that and I think, what has happened in that situation, and not just in that one, but many, that people have drifted away from what God had called them to do, that now they are selling chicken instead of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's so scary, but it has repeated itself over history. And I want to read you this other scripture in the Bible because it connects to what we are celebrating, what we are talking about today. And if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 21. And I want you to read this because I was just going to read a few verses that pertain to what the focus is that I'm going to have here. And I'm not going to be long this morning, so I really want you to engage, hear me, and just be prepared at the end. I read this, and at this time of the year, I find myself reading this story in the scriptures out of Mark 11, Luke chapter 19, Matthew 21. And as I read it, I just gained some insight. And I want to read the beginning of it, but I'm going to focus in on verse 10. And he said, now they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives. And Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a goat with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say to them, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. And I always found that to be so engaging and so intriguing that Jesus would tell people, hey, go get somebody else's animals, bring it. If they say anything to you, just tell them the master says he needs them. And they just say, yeah, go ahead. You know, but all this was done that it may be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of the donkey. Now, in that time, commanders and conquerors would ride on horses. But here Jesus is riding not on the donkey. He's riding on the colt. He's riding on the foal of the donkey. Remember what I've told you a few weeks ago, that there's truth in every word of the scripture. And you need, when you read it, don't read it just for speed. Read it with intentional purpose that you want to get what it means. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees, spread them on the road. And then the multitudes went before, and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Time of Passover. It's the busiest time of Jerusalem. It's full, there's anticipation. And here now Jesus, in respect, he comes out of obscurity and he rides down. And here they have him on this colt and they're laying their clothes for the colt to walk over. And they're waving palm branches at him saying, Hosanna, Hosanna means save now, save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And here's what I want you to look at, because the story just doesn't end there. And you got to, either on your way in or on your way out today, a palm branch. And we remember Palm Sunday, and we put emphasis on this. But it takes it to another level of what happened in that day. And it says in verse 10, "And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' And the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.' And Jesus went into the temple." And I want you to notice that word temple, because you're going to see that a few times. And we're going to look at that, what that means here in just a moment at the end. Jesus went into the temple same day that he came in victorious, same day that people laid their clothes down for him to walk in, same day that they waved palms at him and said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Same day he went into the temple of God, and he drove out those who bought and sold in the temple. He overturned the tables of money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of what? Prayer.' But you have made it into a den of thieves." And look at what happens. And after he cleanses that temple, he says, then the blind and the lame came into the temple, and he healed them. And the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And they were indignant, and they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to him, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise?' And instead of the church selling chicken here and ribs, they're selling goats and sheep and doves." And in both circumstances, because they moved away from what they were called and the intention that they were created for, the lame, the blind, the halt, the sick were stopped and stayed in that state of living because there was no gospel working in their lives. The Bible says that the children even were praising, and they didn't like that. No prayer, no power, because they didn't want the lame and the blind and the rejected praising, because the Bible says that when Jesus came into the temple that day, that even the children began to praise. And what is more awesome and beautiful than a group of children shouting out praise? But yet the religious, the ones who thought they knew everything, said they got mad. And what are they doing? That would be like me going over at the big kids during the second service when Chandy is leading the chorus of 60 kids over there singing and praising, and me getting all upset. Why are these kids praising? Can you see the transition of what has taken place here? The beautiful children singing. What have they lost? It makes me to come to a place in my mentality that causes me to think, where has this been forgotten? Why have they lost what God had given to them? Have they gotten sophisticated? They have traded their relationship with Jesus for their religion. And the Bible says that they became indignant. They became angry. Not, and take note, they weren't indignant and they weren't upset about the corruption that was in the temple. They became used to that. I woke up this, when I get up on Sunday mornings in that early morning hours, the Lord begins to speak to me, and I wrote this down. It says, "Isn't it? I observed over time that people that reject the moving of God's Holy Spirit, people that become indignant, are as well some of the majority that have allowed the association of this world to color their convictions." I thought that was very nicely put. In other words, people become judgmental when they relinquish the power of Jesus in their life. You say, "Pastor, what's all this got to do with Palm Sunday? We're going to eat pancakes afterwards. I'm going to make you feel good in just a minute." But somewhere along the line, people get more concerned about the things that have no value in them instead of putting value on the things that are really and truly important. Instead of prayer being a regular part of their life, now they have exchanged it for something that has absolutely no value. Am I speaking to anyone in here today? Someone got in them and began to shut them down and drew them away from what they were called to, and maybe even feeling a moment of despondency, and they lost what they once had. They allowed some things to come into their life and gain control about who they really were. And we read the story about the palms, but I want to tell you, this day is not just about palm branches, but it's about table turning. Because Jesus comes in on that triumphal day and he looks at the people and says, just because I come riding in on a colt does not mean that I am not a triumphal Savior and I'm able to flip the things in your life that are causing distractions all through your life. And then there is an important scripture that I'm going to be closing. Rufus, if you just step back up to the keyboard, because I'm going to be done here in just a moment. I want you to see this. In John chapter 2, there's another portion of scripture that is so unique. And it talks about Jesus coming in to Jerusalem during the Passover. But it happens 3 years before this moment that we're celebrating today. And we can read it in John chapter 2. Get the picture. Jesus, we're not talking about the day before he was crucified. Now we're talking about 3 years ahead of time. And Jesus says, the Bible says, the Passover of the Jews was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, verse 14. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen, sheep, doves, and money changers doing business. And he made a whip of cords and he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. 3 years before, he does the same thing. And now he's walking back into the city, comes back into the temple, and guess what he finds? The very thing that he began to chase out 3 years ago finds its way back in there at this time. And in Matthew 21, Mark 11, and Luke 19, all these happened 3 years after the story in John chapter 2. Because the same things that have the propensity to get in your life at one time or another, and you may have gone to the altar and asked Jesus to cleanse you and forgive you and deliver you, and he did a work. The Bible says in John chapter 8, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But sometimes in our lives, in society, in the culture that we live in, things have a tendency to find their way back into us. And the Bible says, and this is what I want you to see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Don't you know that you are the temple? Here it is again. Now you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the place whom God, where he resides. And the very tables and the very junk that came into those temples during this period that were once cleansed and now that are back there. I just sense this in my heart today. Now the temple that he is coming to is us in our temple. Do we have power in our temple? Do we have prayer and praise going on in our temple? Have we allowed the things of this world to come in and crowd out what God wants to do in and through us and change the focus of our destiny? We're not called to sell chicken. We're called to deliver the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ that can heal the lame, that can make alive the blind, that can bring life to those things that are dead. Oh, I sense this in my heart so much for somebody this morning. And because today is not just a day for palm leaves, but it's a day in your own personal life for some tables to be turned over. And he not only comes into this world as conqueror and king, but he comes into this world today as Savior and Lord to come to your life and my life, to come to our temples and to say, what's inside of us that I delivered once out of you, but now has crept its way back in and has set up a table in your life and is just displaying all the junk all over. Hello, are you listening to me today? I want you to bow your heads with me just for a moment. I'm going to close here in just a moment. But Jesus comes to you and I today, and he asks us, what is that that has come back in and set itself up in your temple today? What is it that at one moment in your life that I have freed you from, that for some reason or another, your life has been opened up and that thing has come back in and begin to share and begin to take over? It skewed your vision. You've become critical. You've become blind to some things that God has called you to. You've become numb to the power of God's Holy Spirit. And the Lord is saying to you and I today that maybe the humanistic society that where we have lived in has had some kind of control. But this is the day, this is the time, this is a moment where we need to be free from that. Rufus, play for me, please. Maybe at one time or another, you were salt and light, and now that's all covered up. Your light doesn't shine anymore, and the ability that you and I once were called to have flavor in the world that we lived in, we've lost that ability now. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody, but I'm talking to me this morning, because there have been times in my life where God has done such marvelous things in me, only for me. I don't know why it happened and I don't know how it happened, but for whatever reason, something just came in and began to take me back over again. And God has come to turn over those things in your life and let you know today that He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the living God. He is alive forever. He is the one that liveth, had died, and liveth again for you and for me. And this is a day of freedom. What has come back into your life today? What kind of junk? What kind of fear? What kind of bitterness? Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's a habit of some sort that you've just let come in. And for some reason, you've just let it set up a table in your life. Today, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that the junk in your life that needs to go, goes from your life. I'm going to close in just a moment here. I'm such a friend of the altar. I always have been, I always will. It does such marvelous and has always provided for me a place in my life of refuge. And there's something about it. I'd like both my brother Chucks to come stand with me here. And I'm going to close in just a moment, but I want to open up the altar today for you. That if you're sitting here today on this Palm Sunday, you know, starting this series next week, it's time for change. We don't have to wait to change till next week. Our hearts and our lives can be open to who and what He has and called us to right today. We can start a brand new life and leave out of this house today different, changed, new, living, breathing with hope in our lives. I want, while your heads are bowed all over the house, before I close in prayer, I just want you, if anything that has been said, if the Holy Spirit has pricked your heart at all today, just wave your hand at me. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I got some stuff that came back. Just don't be afraid. Put your hand up. God bless you. Father, today in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every other name, You didn't come just on a lofty day to be a God of a wonder for that moment, but You came to change lives, to bring hope, to turn over that which had tried to make its way back in and take control. And today, those who have raised their hand, and even some others, God, today, I pray that this moment of their life, maybe, Lord, some are even questioning whether they know You. They're questioning their faith in You. Maybe they have been tried and tested, and they feel like they have failed. But I ask You today that You would lift them out of that, and You would bring them up out of that today for Your glory and for Your honor, God. I pray for my brothers and my sisters today for strength, hope, and life to be their portion And I ask it in Jesus' name. Come on, and everybody said amen. I love you. Listen, if you want to, before you leave, you come on down to the altar. We want to pray with you. There's no judgment. There's no critical heart or spirit here. Only hope. Don't leave if you need prayer. I love you. Stop at the table in the back. And I hope you can make it back at 11:40 for breakfast next door. God bless you.